The carnal man and the law. Chapter 7 teaches us about the law along three lines. The spiritual man, the natural man, and the carnal man. We're on the last section, the carnal man. We found that in the two Sundays ago. The spiritual man is delivered by the law. He's spiritual. He follows the Lord. He's delivered by the law. But then the natural man is doomed. The natural man doesn't know Jesus Christ at all. He is doomed by the law. And today we're going to see that the carnal man is defeated by the law, apart from Christ, meaning that he's trying to defeat sin on his own power. His problem is what the law demands, the flesh can't deliver. What the law demands from me, I cannot give. I can't do it in my own flesh. The gap is very large. Now, the believer is a slave to sin. 14 to 17. The statement, you don't have an outline because the outline is so simple. In each of these major points, I'm going to have the statement, the proof, and the conclusion. But here's the first one. The believer is a slave to sin. For we know, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now the word carnal is not used of unbelievers. Carnal is for believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And you think, well, okay, that's babies. That can't be me. I've been saved for 50 years. Well, the second verse says, I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now, you're not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. This says that a person can remain a baby. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saved. But he can remain a baby, carnal, fleshly, for a long while. And we'll see how a person avoids that kind of life, the carnal life. Some aspects of our sinful past that will not lose until we go to the Lord or he comes for us. We go by the undertaker or the uppertaker, but we'll get there. When we get there, we have some things until we get there. We have some things that are still with us. The effects of sin. Sickness. Anybody had the sniffles? Anybody have anything worse? That's the effect of sin. We have that, and we're going to die unless the Lord comes. But all that, the effect of sin, we have that part. On the other hand, our soul spirit has been redeemed. So the flesh has the effects of sin in it, but I call it the soul spirit, because some people like to call it soul, we call it spirit. I call it both. The phrase sold under sin is slave market slang. Sold under sin. I was sold into slavery by Adam. I'm born that way. I'm born into sin because I'm the son of a slave. I'm the son of a slave to sin. And when I'm born, I'm a slave to sin. And so I'm sold under sin. Even as a believer, the carnal part is still there. So if I attempt to live under my own power, instead of the power available to me by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be defeated. So that's the statement. Now the proof is in verses 15 and 16. Paul's problem is verse 15. So for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I don't practice. But that I hate, that I do. So it's almost as Paul is standing outside of himself and he's watching what he's doing. I see better back here. I want to do it, but I can't. I don't. He's like a little boy when he's caught doing something he shouldn't do. And his honest answer is, when somebody says, why did you do that? I don't know. That's what Paul said. I don't know. I'm flying inside here. What do I do? So if then, he says, verse 16, if then I do what I will not do, what I will not to do, then I agree with the law that it is good. he realizes that what he's done is wrong, then he can and he must agree that the source that condemns him is correct. The law is good. This is what I should be doing. I'm not doing it. Therefore, the law is right. I'm wrong. Now, his conclusion then is in verse 17, but now it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now, he's not saying I'm not responsible. What he's saying is, I want to do it right, but the sin that's in me is causing me not to do it. I'm weaker than that part of me. So the now, I think, is now I see that the conflict and realize that although I did the action, I did it against my will. So he learned some things. He said, now I know. I know that the law is good, and I should attempt that. I should get over that problem I have, because the law is good. I want to do the law. But I did not do those things. Therefore, it is sin dwelling in me that's causing the trouble. And once I know the trouble, then I can do something about it. So that's his first problem. The believer is a slave to sin. The second, the believer cannot produce righteousness, verses 18 to 20. Believer can't produce righteousness. The statement, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that, what is good, I find not. Notice, he's not saying that there's nothing good in me, not in me. The Holy Spirit is in him. When a person believes, he receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in me, but in my flesh, there's no good thing. The proof of that is in verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the will I will not to do, that's what I practice. So the two forces in the believer are called natures. The fallen nature that I already have, and it's the new nature that I receive when I receive Christ. That's received as salvation. But a nature, I think the best description of it I've ever heard is from my mentor, Charles Ryrie. And he called it a complex of attributes, or, to say shortly, abilities. It's the ability. So a nature cannot do anything. This idea that it used to be favorite thing was say, well, there's in me, there's a sin and there's good. There's the black dog and the white dog. And whoever I say sick them to, that's the one who wins. Well, no, the nature doesn't do anything. I do it. The nature makes it a possible for me to do it, but it doesn't do anything itself. It can't make decisions for me. But when I operate in the new nature, then I'm able to live a life pleasing to the Lord. See, Paul at that time in his life had tried to live his life and fight the sin using only the resources of his flesh, and no success. So, conclusion for that is verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So now he sees the problem. Now he knows where he is. Going to learn now how to correct it. The cycle of sin is reducible to a law, he says. Verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I'm the one who wills to do good, but evil is present with me. So the law he speaks of is not the Mosaic law, but a principle, a law in me, a rule that he has learned from his experience. This law or principle is the reality of ever-present evil in an individual whenever he wants to do good. I was raised in a church. My father's a pastor. That church believed that you get saved, but then you have to get sanctified, separate thing. And if you don't do that, then you'll lose it. If you don't go ahead and do sanctified, so you go get sanctified. And then, they said, you lose your old nature. Whoa. But then some people backslid. They lost their salvation, according to them. Well, whoa. Then they have to go back and start all over again. That's not true. We never lose it. It's there. We overcome it by what he's going to say in a minute. So he says, I find a new law. It's present with me. That rule or principle, I'm going to have to recognize that when I want to do something good, if I want to serve the Lord and do things, live my life according to the Lord, the Lord's principles, then I must fight that. But how am I going to do that? Well, he said, I delight in the law of the Lord according to the inward man. I want to do what God wants me to do. His inner man, the new nature, which he received as salvation, is that new man. He delights in the law of God, in that, in Colossians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 3. You read that. Now, the psalmist did that. The psalmist said, I delight in your word. Psalm 119, verse 16, 24, and 47 says basically the same thing. I delight in the law of the Lord. I delight in what the Lord says. I delight in his, three different things, but they're all the word of God. So he delights in that. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. The first two verses of the Psalms said this. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the way of the sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. Now, but he says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the law of my mind, the new nature, and the law of sin in my members, the old nature. Conclusion. Another conclusion. This one's real. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? That, I think, is a proper translation. Anyway, the body of this death. Paul has come to the end of himself. He must have help. Is there any help available? Who can help me? Who can free me from this power of sin? Is there any help? Yes. A resounding yes. There is help. The one who freed you from the penalty of sin is also able to free you from the power of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, the conclusion to all the matter is this. The Lord wants to teach us in this passage the nature of the conflict and the purpose of the conflict. The nature, first, it's a war that's waged within the human body, primarily in the mind. That's the nature of it. As potential reality throughout our Christian lives, you'll never get away from it. Oh, you'll win, I hope, continue to win by following the word, but you won't get away from that temptation of sin always coming at us. It's a potential reality throughout our Christian lives, but victory should be the way of life. And whenever we learn what it means not to be under the law, but under the new covenant, living in liberty by the power of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to the failed experience of trying to do it myself, we all have no more power available to us than the flesh. Then if we try to do it that way, then we all are under the authority of the law. Now, the victorious Christian is living directly affected by these realities, and the sooner we understand this, the sooner we'll actually experience victory. We need to understand we're fighting a fight. It's going to be there. We've got to do it. We've got to recognize it. And then we have to call upon the power of the Lord, the same one who freed us from sin, from penalty of sin, will save us from this power of sin. And the God-intended purpose of the conflict is He intends for us to learn to depend upon Him. You can fight all you want, do all you want to try to beat this enemy, but you depend upon the Lord and allow Him to strengthen you. So placing ourselves under the law is depending on our own strength. And it always results in failure. Now, placing ourselves under the new covenant and dependence upon the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit always brings victory. So the question is, which one we want to do? Which do you follow? Dependence upon the Lord, dependence upon myself? No way. So it's ironically, though, through this conflict, we can better understand the depths of our own depravity. And that's bad. It's there. Oh, wretched man that I am, is what Paul says. And that's exactly what we are. But we can also see in this whole conflict the unsearchable riches of grace. God's grace is there. If we're going to live by the law, you'll die by the law. Live by the grace and be victors. And then the nature of the conflict should be such as to motivate us to be, here it was, students of the Word. Students of the Word. Get in the Word. Be in the Word. Live in the Word. That's it. We have to do that. To motivate us to be students of the Word, to be people of prayer. The Word and prayer. And then to be moved to enjoy fellowship together, encouraging other believers. We have a responsibility to others as well as to ourselves. The Word, prayer, and fellowship. And encouraging all others to be informed to say no to the flesh by walking by the Spirit under the new covenant.